If not, we're going to be reading in the 21st chapter of John. You know, this week as we were there taking that glucose test, I was thinking as I went in there, though I was feeling a little weak, but not as bad as I usually had been. And I thought, you know, is this going to show anything? Because I don't feel as bad as I do most of the time. And even after the test was over and I was sitting in the doctor's office and everything, you know, I'd had little spells of feeling a little faint-like, but not as bad as I had been. And he told me my blood sugar was 45, and he said, most people start passing out when it gets to that. And he said, most people, after it goes below 70, does not function properly. Well, I don't know how low my blood sugar has been, because I felt a lot worse than I was right then. And Carol was with me a day or two earlier than that when we had left an office there, and I just ran a stop sign because I knew it was a stop sign, but I just couldn't figure out what I was supposed to do almost. I mean, it was stupid. And I was wondering in my mind, well, how stupid can you be? But, you know, we don't know the simplest things in our body that can get out of balance, how it can affect us. And, you know, common sense would tell you, your sugar low, eat sugar. But that ain't the way that it goes. It might lift you up for a minute, but then you're going to go lower than you were. And that's why a lot of times people, when they look at the things of God, we try and apply common sense to it and think, well, this would have worked or that would have worked. But God has told us what will work. And we need to abide by what God has said, not what we have tried to figure out or what we think might apply to us. Because God makes some special rule just for me. He doesn't. We can lie to ourselves and think He does, but He doesn't. And, you know, each one of us has a battle to fight in our life. And I don't care what your battle is, you're going to have to face it and put God first if you ever win that battle. There is no way that you'll ever win by putting you first. And I'm afraid that too many times God is so far down on their priorities that God just leaves us to our own devices. And I have not been here for this. It was three Sundays ago today that I'm here. I missed two complete Sundays. I guess that's right. I missed two Sundays in a row, and I think three Wednesday nights in a row. And it seems like a long time since I've been in here. And me and Daryl did not talk. But Carol talked to me some when she come home about services. And I don't exactly know how Daryl worded it or what he said. But there was a service that Daryl come to church in and preached. And if I'd have been here, I'd have pretty much asked the exact same question. And I think it's time that people gets down to business with God. More than we ever have. Because if we're so blinded to the crisis and stuff that's going on in our land today, we'll be one of them will be so blinded we would take the mark. If we cannot see the danger that's closing in, the way they're wanting to just shut down anybody with a Christian principle, a way of thinking, a standard, you better wake up. Because it will move in upon you before you know it. And it very well could be that this time, next year, the freedom that we think we have a right to today, we might not even have in that short of time. And you and I, you know, as I watched the thing, I think it was this week, you know, the government, for a long time, a lot of the officials in the government wants to disarm America. And just things like has happened with going totally against the will of the people. If they knew the people didn't have a weapon of no kind in the United States, it'd be far worse. And I don't know what our president has in mind when he'll make the statement, and yet they're for disarming and taking away all the guns and even the hunting rifles of American citizens, but yet he said we needed a private force equal to or exceeding our military. I don't know what on earth they've got in their mind. But you and I today, we better wake up. Because, you know, Germany started off with something like that. And it was citizens against citizens. And we might think it would never happen in America. I heard that same thing when it talked about taking prayer out of school. And it happened. When they're talking about Bible reading out of school, it'll never happen, but it happened. And right now, in a few days, there's going to be a hearing over a judge because he would not remove the Ten Commandments from his courtroom. And there's coming up a case before one of the superior courts about him refusing to remove this from his courtroom. Well, you and I, that's what our country was founded upon. And we might think it's not going to change. But open your eyes, it's already changing. All right, if you'd like to read with us, go to read just one verse of Scripture in the 21st chapter of St. John. And here this is after Christ was crucified and rose from the dead. And Peter and them and went back fishing. And they had caught nothing. And Christ asked them that, and they said, you know, they had caught nothing. He tells them to cast their net on the right side. And they caught so many that it about sunk two ships, them putting the load in. And then when they come to shore, Peter being sort of the ringleader, but most of the disciples was there. The 15th verse, Peter had denied Christ, and here in the 15th verse, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, now this is after they landed, and they seen that Christ already had fish and bread there. Already cooked and prepared for them. And after they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Now, here you'll find twice more he asked Peter, do you love me? But here he said, do you love me more than these? What did he mean? More than the fish. Because he had told Peter, and then when he called them as his disciples, he said, I'll make you fishers of men. And as soon as Christ had went away, they went back to their old trade. They went back to doing the fishing for the fish instead of being out fishing for men. And here, Christ asked him, do you love me more than these? And as I was thinking upon this, I think each and every Christian should ask ourselves that very question. Because Christ is asking us, do you love me more than these? And we can put anything in there that we want to, that Christ will be looking at. This is in your life.
or you put these things first before me? Is it your wife? Is it your children? Is it your house? Is it your land? Is it anything else in my house that you love more than me? When it comes time to go to church, are you so worn out from doing the things that you want to do that you don't have time for God? I know a people they'll go preaching on Saturday and Saturday on Sunday. They don't feel like going to church on Sunday. What's wrong? They're telling God, I love him more than I love the blessing from you. You and I today, when it comes to church time, they should be nothing. Stand between us and the house of the Lord.
And I'm afraid a lot of times we say, oh, I feel bad. But if we was examined by a doctor, he'd say, you're fine. You can do whatever that you want to. And God knows that. Why? He sees what's the matter with us all the time. He knows what is your imagination and what your real sickness and problem is. You know, I don't know. They'll tell you that if you have low blood sugar, it should not make you lose weight. They'll tell you that if you take cortisone shots, it should make your blood sugar go through the roof, if it's going to affect you at all. If you take cortisone shots, it should make you retain water. And whether that's what done it or not, I don't know. But shortly after I started taking these shots, I went to losing weight. And I lost fluid. My legs no longer are swell. They're small. I lost fluid. I've lost like 25 pounds. And it's been, I guess, mostly fluid. And my sugar dropped down so low. And that's the only thing that we can figure it affects into my body. It won't regulate the sugar. And go contrary to what a doctor will tell you. Well, man, today, we say this, he hurt me. Everybody does it. He's not affecting me. But we're spiritually done. We're giving in to the things of this world. When we need to be elevating ourselves, looking at the things but beyond this life and weighing them.
What the things that we're putting ahead of God is costing us. You know, you and I today, if Christ come and looked into our life and sat down talking to us, and he said to us what he said to Peter, do you love me more than these? Could we say, Peter here, he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But Christ said, he said unto him, feed my sheep. You know, God judges by our actions. You know, our words don't mean a whole lot. Peter, if he really loved Christ the way he was saying that he loved him, he wouldn't have been out doing the fishing. He would have been doing what Christ had asked of him. He wouldn't have been there denying Christ three times the night he was crucified. Why? Because Peter cared more about Peter. He thought, if I own that I know him, I might be punished, I might be beaten, I might even be crucified. So it's better I say I don't know him. For was the Lord, he cares more for himself than he did for pride. So he loved on hell more than he did cry. You and I today, that's what God is looking at in our lives. And if we're putting another thing before God, God knows he looks at it and he sees what it is that we love more than him. Anything that we put before him, he said it is our God. And it's time for us to realize that. You know, there's people that they'll work no matter what hours that a boss asks of them, but if a preacher holds them 30 minutes longer than they think that they should be held in a service, they think that's just awful. And you question, well, my boss pays me overtime. You know, what God gives you, you haven't earned, so He's more than paying you overtime. And you and I, we're not giving Him the time that He deserves. What breaks my heart, there's children looking on that sees and knows that adults that make every excuse in the book not to be in church, and a child looking on and wondering why. They say, how much do you love me? You know the saying, ask Christ, how much do you love me? Have you ever seen somebody explaining that to a kid and say, how much you, I love you, this why? And it said, Christ stretched out His arms and died, crucified with His arms wide open, saying, I love you, this why? And yet when it comes to me to do, and He says, how much do you love me? Oh, I love you, but I've got a little bit of a headache. I've got to stay whole, but as soon as the door closed and everybody called, you seem to start feeling better. When I get up and go before the effort and see if we don't get to feeling better, you and I better. God sees what's in our heart and He knows just what's there. And I'm afraid what He's looking at is not righteousness, but it's the cares of this world that separates us from God. You know, I cannot understand how a person can live in sin and want their life to change and get better, and everything they've tried, it just keeps getting worse. And when somebody mentions to them about trying God, they don't. What's wrong? They really are not sick of the life they're living. Because once they truly get sick of it, they'll try anything. It's like a drowning man. They say that if somebody is drowning and there's a straw floating by them on the water, they'll grab a hold of it. Why? They want anything to try and save their life. Well, until we see that we're going down, people will not reach for God. And the thing about it, the devil has lied to so many people, telling them, you're okay. We have a form of godliness, but we're denying the very power thereof. We deny what we need the most. When it comes time for us to do anything that we want. You know, I had a person to tell me that they were so bad that they couldn't hardly stand to sit long enough to get through a service. They couldn't hardly stand to sit long enough to ride to church. But when it comes to something they wanted, they could get in a vehicle and ride literally for hours. What made the difference? What they loved. It was what they wanted to do. So that proves they did not really want to be in church. You and I, if it comes around the meal time and now, since I've got this problem, I'm already always ready for meal time before it gets there. I have to have some snacks in between even. But if we really are hungry, we'll get up and go and look for something to eat rather than waiting till somebody brings it to us. Boy, if we're spiritually hungry, why don't we get up and go and look for it at the only place we're going to find it, the house of God, till we get satisfied instead of sitting content. You know, we wonder why so many people are spiritually so weak, so sickly, and it's because they've not desired the food of the Lord. When it comes around to service time, they're not hungry. They're ready to be occupied in something else. You know, it hasn't been very long back. I heard of a person that had done some very strenuous things. And through it all, church time come and they never darkened the door. And to everybody that sees that, they know what's more important. They know where the love is the most. You know, I've seen a sign here in Lebanon on April something or other. There's going to be a cage fight there at the Civic Center. And from what I have seen of those cage fights, not in person, but on video or something like that, it's not a crowd that I think that a Christian would want to be sitting in. It's not a crowd that a Christian person would want to take their children and have them sitting in with the way that the women are dressed, with what you're seeing, and the language. It's not something that a Christian would want to go to. But I'll guarantee you, if you was standing there at the Civic Center when this fight is being held, you'll find there'll be all kinds of church members going in those doors. If you took the church people out, it wouldn't be enough to support the fight. What's wrong? A lot of what will go in there when the church time comes, right after that, they won't be in church. What's wrong? It's because what's in the heart. You and I, Peter proved what was in his heart. Christ went away. He was sort of like that man that Daryl was talking about, a Muslim that was ready to eat pork inside of a tent because Allah couldn't see. He's in a tent. Well, Peter couldn't see Christ, so I guess he figured Christ couldn't see him. He was going to go back to his old ways. But he found, though he was there fishing, naked, I don't guess he was physically naked, but he was probably down to just about nothing. And when they figured out that was Christ, he grabbed his fishing coat and put it on. You and I today, don't wait till it's too late, till we hear the voice of the Lord calling to try and grab us some clothes and put them on. We better have a robe of righteousness on, unspotted from the things of the world. That's what God has said for me and you. And here, Peter, Christ asked him, do you love me more than these? Me and you, we better prove to the whole world we love God more than anything else in this world. You know, you might say, you know, well, I don't go to this or that when their church is going on. But if we'll go to that and church time come and we say, I don't feel up to going, I don't feel good. Did we go to that one and felt the same way? Or was we give out because we went and did what we wanted to? It's why that we feel so bad about going to church. You know, there's all kinds of people will go shopping on Wednesday and be out for several hours, and when it comes to church time, I've got a headache, I just can't. Them fluorescent lights, they just affect me and I'm just not able to go tonight. Well, isn't something that you just got aware of? Shop on another day.
There's not an excuse we can come up with that will justify ourselves in the eyes of God.
How much do we love God?
You know, it's just like a diabetic.
He may love potatoes, but a doctor will tell him, don't eat them. It's going to hurt you if you do. Well, are they willing to eat them and suffer? I've seen people do it. Why? Well, I just love potatoes. That's one of my weaknesses. Well, realize the things of this world that is a weakness to us can be the very thing that kills us. Deny ourselves. Take up our cross and follow the Lord. Here Christ was asking Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, get about my business and forget what you want to do. God's asking each and every one of us today, do we love Him? If we do, why aren't you doing what I've asked of you? Why aren't you at my house? Why aren't you putting me first? Why aren't you doing this? You know, I see people, God bless with a good job, that they're making plenty of money, but when it comes to church time, I work hard all week. I just got to have a day of prayer. God is the one that blessed you with that job. He gave it to you. Why not go and praise Him and thank Him for it? You'll find when they miss church. They'll never come and say, I was able to be here, but here's my child in the hell. God's the only God of our child. But then we turn around and we rob it of our child and our whole bread. God is not looking at us and finding us in a sin. We say, why is this good? I'm on my family. It's God collector. What we all are doing. But though we refuse to give it freely. And each and every one of us, we need to wake up and see that if we truly love God, prove it to Him. You know, Christ would not have been asking Peter this question if Peter had been in the synagogue teaching the things of the Lord, would he? He wouldn't have been asking him the question if Peter had been out in jail for his stand for God. Bearing the persecution, Christ wouldn't have been asking, do you love me? Why? Because his actions would have been proving it. You and I today, you know, we want to witness to people about God, but our action teaches another story. You know, if I come to you and I tell you, there's a restaurant in town that's the best place I have ever ate at. The food, everything I've ever ate there is just wonderful. What's that going to do to you? The next time you want to go out to eat, you're going to say, let's try that. Because they said it was really good. Well, if the world's looking at your life and you miss church more than you attend, if the world's looking at your life and they never see anything of God really in it. Though you might speak of God, but they're looking beyond that.
What do we tell them? It's really not all that good. God's not all that special. It don't make that much difference. But if they see in everything about your life, God is first.
Everything that you do, you pray about, you put before God, then they're going to see God's important to that person. And you and I, to stand and testify when our daily life is not a witness of what's in our heart. Our words are in vain. You know, if I say I love my wife, and every time you see us, I'm giving her a shove, I give her the back of my hand. No matter how much she might deserve it, I ain't supposed to do that. but I give her the back of my hand, or I yank her by the hair and say, let's go. Drag her out the door, even if she's called in the door, just keep pulling.
Somebody wants to say, boy, he don't think a thing of that woman. I don't know why she stays with me. When the world looks at how we treat God, they might be wondering, why would God stay with you? I'll tell you, if we don't treat God like Lord and Savior, Master and King, He's not there. Though we may say, oh, I'm a Christian,
the Spirit will not dwell in that house where God is not welcome 24/7. You know, when it comes church time and you are legitimately sick and unable to be here, I don't know about you, but I feel like such a failure. It's a family drive, it's a driveway. I tell myself, maybe you should have just tried to go anyhow. You and I today, I can remember when I was a kid and I had to catch a bus. I was so sick to the bus run, and then I was ready to go outside and play. Why? Because I didn't want to go to school. That was what was my sickness. I didn't want to go to school. As soon as that passed, I was fine. You and I, if we're unable truly to go to church, you'll find when the time that comes that you was to leave for church and you was unable to go, you'll find you feel a little sicker because you didn't go. And God knows when we're legitimately unable to be there. But God also knows when we can go and deny ourselves and do other things, we better learn to deny ourselves and do what God wants us to do. Peter, he learned a valuable lesson in this, didn't he? Because he put God so first in his life, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified. That's God. You and I today, we better put Christ first in our lives. Because he gave all that he had for me and for you. And if we're not doing the same for him, when we stand before God, we're going to find that he's going to disown us. No matter how many church rolls our name is on, he's going to disown us. Because he knows whose it is. And, you know, without the Spirit of God in our life, we will have no part with him. And if we do not love God above everything else in life, then we better get our mind and our heart changed. You know, I love fishing. And I've always wanted to go deep sea fishing. But I've never went in my life. And I had a man mention once in my life about going, and it was going to have to be on a weekend. And I said, no. I go to church. I may never get to go deep sea fishing in my life. But if the only time I could go was on Sunday, I will never go. I don't care if it's offered to me week after week after week. Because Sunday is for something better than that. Wednesday night is for something better than that. And you and I, we need to find that there is nothing in this life that should be ahead of God. I don't care if God comes to you and tells you, I want you to do this for me on Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If God asks it of us, we better listen to him. And if it means you have to tell your boss, I need today off, God will take care of you. But if we deny God, he said, I'll deny you. And while we get some song to sing, I beg each and every one of you, think about it. If Christ asks you that question, do you love me more than these? What would be your answer? You can fill in anything that you like in your life most. You know, right here, this time of the year, they call it March Madness or something or other like that. And I don't really care that much for basketball. And this time of the year, it's overload anyhow. But there's all kinds of people that basketball is so important to them. They just love it. And everything that there is about it, it just means more to them than about anything. If it's on TV or wherever, they're going to watch it no matter what. You and I, we need to realize there is nothing in our life that should be that important to us. I don't care what it is. Nothing should be that important to us. But God. We should deny everything to be in the house of the Lord. While we stand and sing a verse of a song, each and every one of you here today, just think about the things of your life. You know, I can remember as a kid, me and Wade be out playing in the dirt with our trucks, and we had made us roads, and we had everything at all. It was such a fun time. We had played for hours at it. But when it come church time, Mom would call us and tell us, y'all got to get in here and get ready for church. We would much rather stay and play in the dirt. But it was church time, and whether we wanted to go or not, we were going. And we grew up knowing that when it comes time for church, no matter what, everything else is laid aside, and church is more important. We need to teach our children that so that when, you know, I know people that go fishing on Sunday. I have never done that. I know people that go hunting on Sunday. I have never done that. I've even seen a few rodents and pests and things that I just literally despise and had spent hours hunting for. And Sunday, here they would pop up in the yard. And I shot it one time and felt so bad about it. I've looked at them since and said, boy, just like you know this is Sunday and you're safe. Come back tomorrow. You and I today, there's certain things we should not compromise. And the things of God is something we cannot compromise, even if it costs us our life. And unless we're willing to do that for God, he said, you're not worthy to be my disciple. You might not be a preacher. You might not even be a teacher. But if you will put God first, your daily life can be a message to everybody that can surpass most of the preached messages today. You know, because most of the preachers that stand in the pulpit today, they're doing it because of it's a way I can make some money. It's a way that I can earn a living easy. I can order my messages and it don't cost me very much. So I come out ways to the good. But a person that lives a spirit-filled Christian life, their daily life is worth more than 1,000 messages from a preacher like that. So each and every one of us, let's make sure we're standing up on our watch.